Carolina Snowflake. Carolina Snowflake. Carolina Snowflake.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Jason. I'm Jason. Underwear pervert.
And we're back with another episode of the Carolina Snowflakes podcast. We're your hosts.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason. And this week we are finally, thank God, on our last episode for covering Phyllis Schlafly for our Republican shitbag series. She really sucks.
She does.
Last week's episode was a doozy of an episode. We were both very triggered by Phyllis and how terrible she is. And so this week we're gonna just jump in so we can get done with her, because she's terrible and she just makes you wanna stop talking about her. That's
and
what she does.
And hit things.
Mm-hmm. So last week, we covered many anger-inducing clips of Phyllis from the 70s. We talked about her homophobia, anti-feminism, and completely insane arguments against the Equal Rights Amendment. One of the things I mentioned was that Phyllis threw her support behind old Ronald Reagan, old Ronnie.
Ronnie.
And this first clip this week is a video that Ronald Reagan made addressing the Eagle Council in 1984. So the Phyllis Schlafly Eagles had their Eagle Council meeting, which is just the most Republican thing I've ever heard. And Republican president at the time, Ronald Reagan, decides to give him a shout out. So that's our first clip this week.
It's a special privilege for me to have this chance to speak with all of you at Eagle Forum. Many of us have fought together in the same cause for many years. And your work is an example to all those who would struggle for an America that is prosperous and free, one nation under God. I owe a special debt of thanks to Phyllis and to all of you for your support of this administration's economic policies. Policies that are now promoting economic growth by cutting the growth of spending and taxes and getting government out of the way of the energy and creativity of our greatest natural resource, the American people.
Wow.
My summary that I wrote down for that clip is that Phyllis gets a shout out from the big dog and he says Reaganomics for life.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what happened there.
Gross.
Phyllis got a shout out from the big dog. She got a shout out from Ronnie.
She did.
So she's really made her way up in the world. It's pretty interesting. So the next clip is Phyllis gave a speech at the National Religious Broadcaster Meeting in 1985. So all the religious broadcasters had a meeting. And yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so, of course, I had to cut some clips of her religious nonsense. So our first clip is Phyllis explaining how she manages to stand up to so much opposition. She's opposed so much. How does she do it?
She's so tough.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we're going to go here.
The question I am most frequently asked by people is, how do you keep going in the face of the tension, the confrontation, the controversy, even the hostility? The answer to that question is really very simple. If you have accepted God's mission for your life, then you have an inner serenity that enables you to withstand what happens and what other people say each day.
She calls it serenity.
Mm-hmm.
I call it spite.
So yeah, is that what it is?
She's just a spiteful old hag.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, I see this same thing that she's doing here with Alex Jones, actually. He will often say that persecution is proof that you're doing the right thing. Like, if you're catching flack, then you're over the target.
Oh.
Is a thing that a lot of these fucks say. And this is her kind of inventing that argument, that line of thinking, that this
like, if you're making waves, then
yeah,
clearly you're doing something. Mm-hmm. And then Alex says,
yeah, you must be doing something right.
Exactly. So there's
like my
her.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, that was actually a spot on Alex Jones. I thought I was sitting in the studio with Alex for a second.
I'm sorry.
Your neck got freakishly large. And
I started throwing axes.
Yeah, it was something. This next clip, it's going to be a bit longer, but I think it's really important. Phyllis was in like full religious mode. And she started complaining about what the children are taught in schools. Oh, no, the children. Think of what the children are being taught. It's terrible.
We're still in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. This is the same 1985 speech to the National Religious Broadcasters Association or whatever. She goes into some anecdotal stories about how the children are being corrupted by evil liberal public schools in ways that very much mimic the rhetoric today. So listen to this and think about how the exaggeration of these anecdotal stories sounds a little bit like what you might hear from somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
This is all fully documented in the official hearings held by the U.S. Department of Education last March. They held 7 days of hearings at which hundreds of parents came in from 29 states and told in their own words what had been done through classroom materials to their own children. We're not talking about criminals in the classroom. We're talking about the textbooks, the classroom materials, the activities and games inside the classroom. And the parents told how these encouraged their children to commit suicide, to indulge in premarital sex, to have an abortion, to experiment with drugs and alcohol, to study witchcraft and the occult, to reject their parents' values, even to hate their parents. They told about the years and classes that the children were required to spend in what is called death education. They talked about how the children were required to be confronted with adult moral dilemmas in which the children were led to believe that it is okay in certain situations to lie, to steal, to cheat, and even to kill, to decide which lives are worth living and which should be eliminated. It all depends on the situation. Yes, this is shocking, and it's all spelled out in the hearings of the Department of Education. Did you hear about this on national television? There was never a word on national television. Never one single wire service story on a shocking situation that exists in every school district, every one of the 15,000 school districts in our nation. We should have had media coverage on the order of Watergate. We should have heard about it every day so this situation can be cleaned up.
Wow.
First of all, where were those books?
Yeah.
When I was in school, because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I don't remember any books telling me to commit suicide or get into witchcraft.
Yeah, joining the occult.
Yeah, I guess she's talking about Harry Potter.
Not in the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. This is 1980s. This is 85. So you got to think satanic panic times.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, the things she was saying there were literally like that it's in every school. Every school has classes that teach your kids death.
Something about death class.
Death lessons.
What is that?
I have no idea. It's just, it's crazy QAnon.
I feel like we got gypped.
Yeah.
Like, where was all of this when we were in public schools?
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember any of that.
No.
That's because, I mean, it's the same. It just reminds me of the cult conspiracy QAnon stuff today of just like there are secret groups of people that are torturing kids and teaching kids. And also that kind of reminds me of the Don't Say Gay bill and them taking all the literature out of schools.
Oh, and then all the CRT.
Yeah. Yeah.
Outrage.
Exactly.
There's why there's so many. There's a movement right now for parents to take their kids out of public schools and either put them into private schools, which we've talked about here.
Yeah.
Or homeschool even.
Yeah.
And they're doing it because they genuinely seemingly believe that the education that children are being given in public school systems are feeding their minds with filth.
Yeah. We will get back into that at the end of this episode. We will re-enter that conversation. So there's more in that department.
I just feel like I got robbed. Yeah. Like I want to read all the... Where were those books?
Yeah, I have no idea. I've never... Yeah, I don't know if anything that she was saying there was actually anything other than anecdotes. I believe, though, that it was testimony that people gave when they did this investigation. I just don't believe any of it's true.
Hmm.
And that's the thing. But she says, this is the testimony of the Department of Education. She words it in a way where it sounds like the government has acknowledged this.
And that the government is intentionally allowing your children to be
taught
these things and using these government-regulated textbooks?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that same argument could be coming from Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, that is a legit just Looney Tunes...
Bonkers
argument. And somehow it works. It worked in 1985, and it works now.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, she's... And as I've been saying this whole time, like, she's inventing this as she goes, and they are just sort of copying the same tactics. It's pretty bananas. That one, that clip is bananas. So up until now, we haven't yet talked about Phyllis Schlafly's anti-Semitism, but that's also a thing. She's smart enough not to be blatant about it, and it's hard to find, and I couldn't really nail it down. It would take a lot of argument to, you know, break down her arguments and read her papers and stuff. But suffice it to say, people have, and the anti-Semitism is there. She's smart enough not to really be verbal about it, so I can't find any clips of anything that I'm like, this is blatantly anti-Semitic. I couldn't find that, but she was involved in a lot of anti-Semitic related things, and I'm sure it was, I mean, it's there. You know what I mean? Another thing that Phyllis did, though, was she did team up with Pat Buchanan to make abortion a central issue. Bob Dole.
Hi. I'm Bob Dole.
He was messing around with the idea of making Republican stance on abortion a bit less severe, but Phyllis threatened to challenge his nomination if he allowed abortion rights into the Republican platform at all, even in the cases of incest and rape.
Wow.
And he caved to Phyllis. I can't do it. I can't go against Phyllis. She's just too powerful.
She was very intimidating.
Yeah, so hooray for Phyllis, I guess. So now we reach a sort of a crossroads in examining Phyllis. She did a ton more media around all of these issues, that we have discussed, and repeated herself quite a bit. I didn't want to keep pulling clips of her saying the same things all throughout the 80s and 90s with nothing new to add to her main argument. And her main argument's garbage anyway. And they're also stuff we've already discussed. So, long story short, the 80s and 90s, she's just doing the same things over and over again in lots of places. So we're going to skip forward to 2006. That's the next time I found something just completely new and worth really bringing up. That's not her talking about the same shit. Her new fight is against illegal immigration. So this is Phyllis coming in hot on illegal immigration in 2006.
Today we're going to talk about the high cost of illegal aliens. They are very costly. I did a debate a few weeks ago with somebody who is on the other side of this issue, and she said that 90% of the people who come over our southern border are good people. Well, even if you take that figure as valid, what about the 10%? And there are 10% who are not good people. And the question is, what are we doing about it?
Yeah, Jason, what are we doing about that 10%?
What are we doing about that 10%? What would your counter
these things
to that?
Matter.
What would your response to that be?
I would say, Phyllis, what are we doing about the 10% who are already here, who were born here, that are absolute shitbirds?
Bingo. Yeah, 10% of all people are shitty, as far as I can tell.
Right. Yeah. Well, I would wager it might even be more.
Yeah,
if we're being honest.
More. Yeah. I was trying
American.
To be generous. I was trying to be generous. Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's her coming in hot on that. So that's a new issue. The next clip, though, is a racist grab bag of pure mask off bigotry, the likes of which I've only ever heard come from the lips of Donald J. Trump. So get ready for just mask off pure insane bigotry. And just think about, imagine Donald Trump saying this.
Now, they're coming from all over the world. And I can tell you, the people who are coming in from the Middle East are not coming to pick strawberries in Florida. That's not why they're coming. And these are only figures of the people they caught. We don't have any figures on the ones they didn't catch. Because we have only 11,000 border guards on our southern border. Now, they are treated differently from the Mexicans. They are given what we call the catch and release system. And what that means is they catch these OTMs, take them to some government office, fingerprint them, take their names and so forth, and then they release them on your own recognizance and say, come back in a month and we'll deal with you. Now, does anybody want to guess what happens to them within that month? The number of people who come back is just almost nil. They disappear into the population. CBS had a segment the other night in which they showed some of these OTMs, other than Mexicans, coming over. And they said they want to be caught because they know that once they get caught, they'll get this catch and release. And they're kind of home free to come in to our population. Now, if a Mexican day laborer can sneak over the border, so can an Al-Qaeda terrorist.
Grandma.
Yeah.
Grandma, so, please. You're embarrassing us.
Yeah, that was... How horrible was that?
What is that? OTM?
OTMs.
Other than Mexicans.
Other than Mexicans.
What?
Yeah, those are the immigrants that she insists are Middle Eastern Al-Qaeda terrorists.
Oh, Phyllis.
That are... If the Mexicans can come over the border to pick our strawberries or whatever.
Yeah, who's to say that?
Holy
and
fuck.
And I don't think that's right. Yeah. Like, I don't... What? Catch and release and then...
Like, they're fish.
What are you talking... Phyllis!
Oh, yeah, just...
Crazy.
She's... Yeah, I mean, that could have come out of the lips of Donald Trump. I mean, even the saying caught, like the misspeaking and everything.
Right.
And just sort of glossing over it. It was a very Trumpian sounding thing that she did there. Mm-hmm. So the next thing that happened for me, I experienced, it was like a record scratch moment. So I personally read a bit about Phyllis. I've listened to some podcasts about her. I'd watched some YouTube videos. I'd done a little bit of knowing about her before I did the research for this. Mm-hmm. But when I was doing the research for this, like, I was already trying to make the argument that she was very Donald Trumpian. But then this next thing that happened, it made me do a double take. I had to listen to this like 3 times before I was like, this is the most nail on the head, she is Donald Trump thing that I've ever heard. And I don't know why this didn't go viral, but here's a clip from that same interview, or it was a speech really that she's given in 2006. Here is her literally transforming into Donald Trump.
Now, what's the solution for all this? First of all, I think we need a fence on the border. We need a fence. And a fence is a very effective thing for keeping people out. They put up a fence in San Diego, and it's done a good job. That's why most of them are now coming in Arizona. They say it's costly. The estimate cost is $2.5 billion. That is 4% of the costs that we are paying right now for all the things we are doing for the illegal aliens after they get here. And, you know, we have a fence around the White House. Some of you may have been with me in the days when I picketed Rosalind Carter and then picketed Betty Ford when they were lobbying for the Equal Rights Amendment. Well, you can't get near the White House anymore because they've got a fence and they've got people patrolling it. And about once every 2 years, some guy tries to get over the fence, but he doesn't get very far.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like she went into that weird kind of Trump style of rambling thought.
Yep.
Just where she's speaking and thinking at the same time, and you're like, these are shower thoughts, Phyllis. Yep. These are not like I'm giving a speech thoughts.
That's very accurate.
Yeah, and then she's like, well, you know what we need? We need a fence.
A fence. Wow.
Has anyone considered a fence?
Yeah. This is, you know, roughly 10 years, a decade before.
Fences work really well. I mean, I used to picket the Carters and the Fords. But then they put a fence up around the White House. Mm-hmm. Now I can't go pick at them anymore. Nobody can pick at them anymore because there's a fence there. Because fences, you know, they keep people like me out.
Yes. I know exactly what you're saying, Phyllis. Only I think it should be a wall.
Yeah. A big, beautiful wall.
Yep.
With a big, beautiful door.
Mm-hmm. So she, by 2006, she has made the full transformation.
She is Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Oh, Phyllis.
Amazing that that happened, isn't it? It's amazing. I think it should be obvious that Phyllis ended up supporting Donald Trump in 2016 at the age of 92.
God, they do. The people... The worst ones always live to be so old.
Uh-huh.
Just, it's the hate.
Yep.
It's the anger and the hate and the spite. Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying. It wasn't serenity.
No.
It inside her. That was spite.
Yeah.
That woman was operating fully, purely on spite.
Yes. Yep. And then lived to be 92 doing it.
Yuck.
And endorsed Donald Trump. So
of course she did.
She transformed into him. It was September in 2016 that Phyllis finally died. And this brings us to our last audio clip. This clip is from the orange tyrant Donald Trump himself at his 2016 presidential victory dinner the day before his inauguration in 2017. So it's the day before his inauguration. He's at a dinner, and this is what he has to say.
I could win. Phyllis Schlafly, the great Phyllis Schlafly. You know who that is. So she's a great woman, was a great woman. Passed away 6 months ago. I went to her funeral in St. Louis. And she came out against all of her fellow conservatives. And she said, I am not endorsing anybody else but Donald Trump. I don't care what exactly he is. He's like an unknown quantity. But he's going to win. And Reince sort of had the same thing. And Reince was taking tremendous abuse. And I want to thank, by the way, Phyllis, because she went through hell. I'm telling you, Phyllis went through hell in that last period of a year. And she turned out to be right. But
I'm sorry that I subjected you to his voice, but he loved her. And he,
it's because they're the same person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She just turned into Donald Trump.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
She went through hell.
Yeah.
You know, people were like, you're old and wrong, Phyllis.
Mm-hmm.
But she was so right.
And she turned out to be right. And I am now going to be president tomorrow.
President at the at the largest inauguration in the history of inaugurations.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
The most populated, attended inauguration.
The night before that. The night before that happened, Donald Trump thanked Phyllis Schlafly.
Oh, my God.
So.
That's so gross.
I feel like I have.
Thank you.
I have completely laid out the life of this lady.
Yeah.
And I want to know, what are your thoughts? I got a couple more things, but this is where some thoughts would go.
I'm curious about her offspring.
Uh-huh.
I'm curious about her children, because I know she had a few.
Yeah, I've got that
like
covered.
Like, what ended up happening to them? Did they end up just as shitty as her, or did they go in a different direction?
Mm-hmm. I have the answer to that.
Oh, good.
So the first thing I'm going to say before we get into that is that the villain from The Handmaid's Tale, if you're familiar with The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
It was based on Phyllis Schlafly. The villain in that is based on her. So that's fun. Like the author said.
Really?
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So as for Phyllis's children, John Schlafly is the oldest son. In 1992, it was revealed that John was gay. According to the New York Times, Phyllis said that it was revealed that John was gay to embarrass her. She also said that John was opposed to same-sex marriage and had the same views about it that she did.
Well, that's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily what he believed.
John is an attorney, and he writes the Schlafly Report, in which he supports his mother and says that he holds all her views.
But he is gay.
Yep.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep.
Ew.
Yep.
Wow.
So that's the oldest son.
So then when gay marriage did become legalized, did he think that was a bad thing?
I think so.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh. So that's the oldest son. Mm. He's still alive. Andy Schlafly was Phyllis's fifth child, and he's also a lawyer and also works on the Schlafly Report with John.
Mm.
He founded Conservapedia.
Conservapedia.
Yeah, which is just what it sounds like. It's a melted white wing Wikipedia of...
It's an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Conservapedia was founded by...
Well, it's like, because Wikipedia is kind of like the textbooks of public education that she was so upset about. And then the Conservapedia is what you really want to know.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yeah. Yep. So that's what turned out with two of her kids. Roger Schlafly is Phyllis's third, is a computer engineer and mathematician. He got a PhD in mathematics from the University of California, Berkeley, and has an electrical engineering degree from Princeton. He wrote a book about how to solve Rubik's Cubes and another book about Einstein and physics. And oh yeah, he's also an outspoken white nationalist, Christian fascist, crazy person.
Oh.
Who has blogs online and spends a lot of time on 4chan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does she have any daughters or are they all boys?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, the other kids are all normie lawyer and real estates, and yeah, a couple of them are girls.
Okay.
And they're just, most of them are lawyers or real estate, and there's nothing else to really say. I don't want to get, there's no reason to attack them.
Right.
Those are the ones that are worth, like.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That so many of them would end up shitbirds too.
Three of them, half of them
at least. We don't know, the other ones might hold the same ideologies, they're just not in positions where
it doesn't really matter, or
right,
whatever their views are, it's not worth noting really.
But she was hardly ever home.
Yeah, and half her kids, or at least half her kids, ended up, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying, how did she have so much influence on them when she was never around?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess
they listened to her speeches. That's what it was.
I mean, and I guess when she was around, she was the same. I think that's just who she was.
Yeah.
So the same with Donald Trump's kids.
What a shitbag.
Yeah. So that ends. That's all I've got on Phyllis. Unless you have anything you want to add, any questions you want
to
ask.
I mean, it's more testament to what we already know of how history just repeats itself, and. Mm-hmm. There will always be a Phyllis Schlafly.
Yeah, there will always be people like that, like mm-hmm. Jordan Peterson and Lauren Boebert. And just like them, she kind of broke me. She wore me down. I don't have the same.
She broke your spirit.
Yeah, I don't have the same fight in me that I did at the beginning of this. Oh. That's after several weeks of listening to her, and you get worn out. Mm. But she sucks a lot. I'm glad I'm through it. I'm glad I don't have to talk about her anymore. And I'm excited for next week because we're going to be covering something completely different. And then we'll take a little break from Republican shitbags for a little while so I can get my spirit back up. Mm-hmm. And we will fight the good fight again another day. So thanks, everyone, for listening. I appreciate it. I love everybody out there. We have a website you can visit, carolinasnowflakes.com. We got an email if you have anything to say about Phyllis, if you are a friend of Phyllis's and you want to tell me to fuck off. We got a website for that. I mean, an email for that. It's carolinasnowflakes@gmail.com. And thanks for listening.
Bye.